Today I'm reading in Genesis 29, 1 through 10. This is the beginning of a new year, and every year I try different methods of Bible reading, trying to read through the Bible again. But so often I get bogged down with wonderful truths that I find, and so it slows me down. This year, I'm trying to read 30 minutes a day in the Scripture and just reading right straight through without marking. I love to mark my Bible because I find so many wonderful truths that stand out when I'm writing or when I'm marking various passages of Scripture and various items that stand out so that I can find them later. And so, in reading through Genesis 29, this wonderful truth reminded me of when I was a young man, and our youth director shared a truth with me from Genesis 29. And I'd like to share this with you and elaborate on it a little bit. Genesis 29, 1 through 10. It's a beautiful golden nugget of truth. Then Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east. And he looked, and behold, a well in the field. And lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks. And a great stone was upon the well's mouth. And thither were all the flocks gathered. And they rolled the stone from the well's mouth, and watered the sheep, and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in his place. And Jacob said unto them, My brethren, whence be ye? And they said, Of Haran are we. And he said unto them, Know ye Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, We know him. And he said to them, Is he well? And they said, He is well. And behold, Rachel his daughter cometh with the sheep. And he said, Lo, it is yet high day, neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water ye the sheep, and go and feed them. And they said, We cannot, until all the flocks be gathered together, and till they roll the stone from the well's mouth, then we water the sheep. And while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near, and rolled the stone from the well's mouth, and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Now here we see an interesting truth, an interesting nugget of truth, that reminds me again that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And in reading through this, I think there's something of interest to consider and to think about. If you remember, Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And of these three sons, all the whole earth has been repopulated. And so, you can break down the human race into those three different groups. And we see there were three flocks of sheep that were gathered together to the well, which was the source of water. Now, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 53:6, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. Mankind is like sheep, sheep that are wandering about, needing a shepherd, and needing their needs to be met. All of us need the water of life. The whole human race needs the water of life, a beautiful picture of Christ who gives living water. Over in the book of John, chapter 4, And verse 13 and 14, when Jesus was communicating with the Samaritan woman, Jesus said these words, Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Again, Jesus spoke of the water of life in John chapter 7 and verse 37 and 38. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe in him, on him, should receive. The Holy Spirit of God is the water of life. But you can only get the water of life through the Lord Jesus Christ. One must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to receive the water of life. In Revelation 22 and verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Yes, the water of life is offered to the whole human race, but it only comes through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in our account in Genesis, there was a stone that kept the people from getting to the water. The stone stood in the way, and they couldn't water the sheep until the stone had been removed. Well, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, a very interesting passage of Scripture. Here the Bible states concerning Israel in the wilderness, and it all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And thus, before they could get to the water, the rock had to be moved. John 14:6 tells us, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the only way to the water of life. Only through the Lord Jesus Christ can one receive the gift of the Holy Spirit of God and the water of life. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the Apostle Peter speaking said, Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. Jesus Christ is the only way to the water of life. And you'll notice the one who moved the stone so the sheep could be watered was Jacob. Jacob's name was later changed to Israel. He became the father of the nation of Israel. And it was through the nation of Israel that salvation was made available to the world through the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. John chapter 4, verse 22b, Jesus said, For salvation is of the Jews. And it is, beloved, through the nation of Israel. And many times people look down on Israel, but it was through Israel that Jesus came. He came as a child of the Jewish race through the Virgin Mary, who was a Jewish maiden, and that was his nationality. and it's through the nation of Israel, who crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, that salvation is made available to the whole world. You see, beloved, Israel was just the people that God used to make salvation available to mankind through the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died in your place and died in my place. He died for our sins, as 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, that God made Jesus to be sin for us, Jesus who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God through Him. Yes, beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ is the way to the water of life, and the Holy Spirit of God is given at salvation. John chapter 3 and verse 6 states, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's physical birth. But that which is born of the Spirit is spiritual. That's the second birth. It's a spiritual birth. That which is born of the Spirit, it's the work of the Holy Spirit of God. When we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, when we accept Him as our Savior, when we ask Him to come into our life, He sends His Spirit, the Holy Spirit of Christ. As Romans 8:9 tells us, that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. He's called the Spirit of Christ in Romans 8:9. And so the Spirit of Christ comes into our spirit to do the work of salvation. And we are born again through the ministry and work of the Holy Spirit, who moves into our spirit, applying the blood of Jesus, making us pure and clean and holy, so that we're righteous within our spirit, and there's no sin dwelling there. And thus the Holy Spirit of God moves into our spirit to take up His abode and to dwell in us. He becomes the seal of our salvation until the glorious redemption, when we're given our glorified body. He is God's guarantee of our salvation, and that God's not finished with us yet. As we're told, I believe, in Philippians, or it's in Ephesians, He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We have the Holy Spirit. Every child of God is given that glorious gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit of God, who moves into our spirit to guarantee our salvation, to keep us from falling, to keep us in the hollow of the hand of Christ, and thus to justify us. We are justified through the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. We are declared righteous, and the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us and given to us, so that in our spirit we are just as if we'd never sinned. In our flesh, Romans 7 tells us there's indwelling sin, and there's no good thing in our flesh, and that's why this flesh has to die, because the wages of sin is death. And this flesh has indwelling sin, as Paul points out there in verse 14 through the remainder of Romans chapter 7, that in my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. And he talks about sin, the indwelling sin that is in our flesh that leads us into sin and leads us into doing that which is wrong and that which grieves God and is displeasing to the Lord. And only through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit can we choose to walk in the light as He is in the light, that we might have fellowship one with another. And so, beloved, what a privilege to be a child of God, to know the Lord Jesus, to be born again and indwelt by the Holy Spirit, who has made our body His temple, His dwelling place. Oh, what a privilege and what a joy to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to have put your faith and trust in Him, to have accepted Him as Savior, to have been delivered from the bondage of sin, given the water of life, and the thirst being satisfied. Yes, beloved, we find contentment with godliness is great gain. And, oh, beloved, if you have Jesus, you ought to be content. Get into the Word. Let Him feed you from the Word. Grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. There you find the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all of this through the Holy Spirit of God. What a privilege to be God's child. Until next time we get together, goodbye.